Okay, our next speaker is going to be Shannon Pickering with Blue River Technology. He's going to be talking about an update on the See and Spray system for weed control in cotton.
Here's your timer at 2 minutes. It's going to turn yellow. Okay. The last presenter, so.
Okay, perfect. Good morning. I'm Shannon Pickering, as I was introduced. I'm with Blue River Technologies. We're going to give an update today on our See and Spray technology. Kind of tell you where we are and what we achieved over the last year. Just, I guess, a quick question. How many of you saw the presentation that we did last year on See and Spray? Was anyone here? Yeah? Okay. So basically, we started out last year and decided to go into cotton with See and Spray. So we presented on what we were planning to do last year. And so now I'm going to update you and show you what we achieved over the course of the year and kind of where we're headed with this technology. So I'm going to start with a quick video just kind of give you a flavor of what we're doing and how the machine's working, and then we'll kind of dive into it a little bit from there.
We saw an opportunity to take cameras, computers, and artificial intelligence to allow ag machines to see every plant in a field. We thought that we could give farmers the ultimate flexible tool to treat their field and manage their field in whatever way they wanted by having the knowledge of every plant and its situation and an ability to spray very precisely, whether it be herbicide only to the weeds or fertilizer or fungicide directly on each plant that needed it.
Each field they go to has a different set of conditions, and they need to be able to adjust and correctly set that machine's performance for the field. One knob could be the protection of the cotton plant and how big of a buffer, a safe zone that we provide the plant so that when we apply selective materials or non-selective materials that we have the appropriate buffer. Another dial is how aggressive do you want to be at going after anything that looks like a weed. There's also some opportunities to inform the grower of how many weeds the system's seeing, even what kinds of weeds exist in the field that they can start to tailor their herbicide programs towards those weeds.
The cameras and computers on the See and Spray machine are using deep learning algorithms that are similar to what's used in facial recognition. The first time we saw a pigweed, the machine didn't know what kind of plant it was, but we taught it by giving it tens of thousands of examples of that pigweed, and now it's an expert in pigweed. We save up to 90% of the amount of herbicide that you would spray if you were spraying the entire field.
The weeds have become a little bit more of a pest than what they were originally. They've become resistant to a lot of the herbicide that we've been using on them.
With the rig, we have other options open to us. We can spray different chemicals that we were not able to spray before. We can take one man and put him on a tractor, and we can do the work of 8 to 10 people.
We're seeing no end to the use of this technology. Essentially, anything that may be cost prohibitive or more difficult to do when you're spraying on a broadcast basis, but much more grower beneficial if we're spraying on a very precise basis.
Hopefully that gives you a little idea of what we're trying to achieve with See and Spray. We're really excited about the technology and the ability to be able to bring this type of machine into the cotton growing areas. We're in a phase now, I think, of technology that we call intelligent machines. We've got the ability, the processing capabilities, and the technology to actually sense the weeds and spray only the weeds in crops. And that's pretty amazing when you think about where we've come from over the course of the last 1,000 or 100 or even 50 years. And what's really interesting to me in looking at this chart here is we seem to progress a lot of times, and in the case with chemicals and herbicides and with the tolerance and resistance we're seeing today, sometimes in our progression, we actually take a step back, right? And we're actually seeing guys out pulling weeds now and actually with hoe hands out there trying to get these weeds out of the field because their herbicides are not working anymore. So we've actually gone way back in technology trying to fight some of these problems. So we really feel like that we've got the technology with See and Spray to be able to really fight some of those problems and give growers a lot more tools to work with in their weed control program. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. But we are really excited about the capabilities that we see. Traditionally, ag machinery has been a source of doing one thing, and we've gotten really good at that, right? Our machinery has gotten bigger, it's gotten stronger, it's become more capable with GPS and variable rate technologies, all of those things. But basically, those machines are just acting, right? They've got a job to do, whether they're spraying or tillage or harvesting. They're out there doing one job. What we're doing with See and Spray and with the machine learning technology is basically giving the machine the ability to sense and make a decision based upon those sensors and act accordingly. So it's not just going out there doing a blanket job. It's actually making a decision and being able to act upon that decision. And then the other capability is actually being able to verify what we did and learn from it and actually make the system better over time. So that's the really interesting part of this technology, and with machine learning and with artificial intelligence, is that continual capability to learn and get better at what we're doing. This is a quick video I wanted to show of lettuce thinning. This is actually where we started with this technology. We chose a crop that required a very manual input in lettuce thinning. This job is actually typically done with hoe hands out in the field thinning the lettuce to get it to the appropriate width between the crop. So lettuce seeds are very small, as you guys know, and basically you plant 3 to 5 times more seeds than what you actually need, and then you go in with these hoe crews and thin them out to the appropriate width or close to the appropriate width. So we were able to go in with the See and Spray type technology, visualize that crop, and make the decision of which of those seedlings need to be taken out and which to keep to achieve the appropriate width between the plants. And that plant width can be changed. So the grower can say, okay, on this field, I want 10 inches between my lettuce. On the next field, if it's a different type lettuce for a different market, he may want 12 or 13 inches between those. So that adjustment can be made, and the spray will hit and spray those plants that are no longer needed. So we've got a 5-year history in lettuce, and we actually had a commercial operation where we were doing lettuce thinning on a per-acre basis for growers in California and Arizona as well. We were covering about 10% of the lettuce crop planted in this country with this technology. So that's kind of just to give you an idea of where we started. So we're not starting from ground level with this. We've got a history of proven capability with detection devices and See and Spray. But over the course of 2017, this just kind of shows you where we started. At the end of 16, we went to Australia and started imaging cotton just to build that database to teach the system what cotton looks like. And then we came into the spring of 17 and started in Arizona, then moved into Arkansas, into the Delta area, and then finally ended up in Lubbock in West Texas with See and Spray. And by the time we got to Lubbock, we were actually able to demo the product and show how well the sprayer was working. The interesting part about this, when we were looking at all these different areas, what we found is cotton in Australia looks different than cotton in Arkansas, and cotton in Arkansas looks different than cotton in West Texas. There's some variety differences, but there's a lot of environmental differences, right? And you get to West Texas, when you're fighting that sand, the sand-blown cotton that gets eat up out there, it looks a lot different than the cotton that we saw in Arkansas that had just gotten plummeted with rain after rain this season. So there's a lot of variability that we have to be able to build in and teach that machine how to recognize those crops in different areas. So basically, over 2017, this kind of shows you what we were able to achieve. Our vision system started out in the 90% capability, and we ended up with about 98% accuracy. There were days when they would be running, they would stop the machine, they would have to send a lot of data and imagery to our engineers in California. They would put together some new algorithms, send that back to us, and we'd put it in the machine and run for another day or so. And so there was a lot of stop and go as we were teaching the machine what it was seeing and how to adapt to different weeds and different crops and different soil textures, those kind of things that all have to be taken into effect. Our target accuracy this year was in that 2-inch range, I'm sorry, last year, and we were running in that 4-mile-an-hour range with an 8-row unit. We were testing a Generation 1 nozzle set that I'll show you a little bit more about in just a little bit. It's a totally different type nozzle concept than what we've seen in sprayers in the past. And we were primarily just working in cotton this year. Going forward with our work in 2018 and beyond, what we're expecting to be able to achieve is 98% plus accuracy with a half-inch type target accuracy. We will be able to vary rates for spot spraying on the go is our plan, depending upon what weed we're seeing and the size. And then we're also going to be trying to achieve a much higher speed capability to be able to increase the number of acres that we can get across in a day. And also increasing the row width size from 12 to 16 row. This year, we're going to have 12 row units running in the field, and then the following years we'll have some 16 row units. So the nozzles that we're using are low drift type nozzles with really high coverage. Again, I'll show you a little bit more about that in a couple of other slides. And we do plan to move beyond cotton. We'll actually be doing research in soybeans this year, teaching the system what soybeans look like and how to be able to detect soybeans. And in the future, we see peanuts and corn and other crops in our future as well. So this quick video here kind of gives you an idea of how the machine is spraying and what it's doing. So it visualizes that weed, and it will turn on the nozzle and spray only that weed. And the type nozzles that we're using is a cartridge-type nozzle that's very similar to an inkjet printer concept, I guess. So basically, we're putting a stream of spray down very close together to cover that plant. And you can see very large droplet size. So from a drift and volatility standpoint, we're eliminating a huge part of that risk. Number one, by the overall reduced volume. You know, we're spraying 90 to 95% less product in the field by being able to spray only the plant. And when you think about that, and that it actually over all the spraying we did last year, it was 94% less. We were spraying about 6% of the field on average when we're just spraying the field. And that's, when you think about it, all of the spraying that we're doing, if 96% of that spray is hitting everything but what it needs to be hitting, that's a huge inefficiency, right? That's a huge waste of chemical that's hitting the ground, hitting the crop, not hitting the weed. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to target exactly what needs the application and be able to put it there. And so we're really excited, again, about the potential and what we're seeing with that possibility. And basically, this slide just kind of shows you the image that our machine is seeing. As you see on the left here, there's weeds there that we can't see from that picture. But the CN Spray system, the computers, our vision system can see. We can actually visualize from an eighth to a quarter of an inch emerged weed and be able to spray that. So it's identifying weeds there. And the red versus green is telling you that the green is the crop that it's identified, and the red is the non-crop weeds that it has identified. And then we applied the spray. So you can see the strips where the spray was applied to those. And this is all happening in a millisecond. And to me, that's one of the most amazing things about this technology, that the processing capability that we have today, the computers that we have that can take in all of this information and make a decision and act on it in a fraction of a second is truly amazing. And that's what's given us this capability to be able to do this. You know, 10 years ago, we could only dream about doing this, but we now have the processors and the capability to be able to do that. So from a value proposition, we see several factors, right? Number one, the ability to fight resistant weeds. You know, we're able to unlock a toolkit of herbicides that can be used, both selective and now even non-selective type herbicides that we can use, because we're not spraying the crop. We have the ability to precisionally apply that spray only to the weed area. So we've got a lot of capabilities from different chemistries that we really have not been able to use today. As I said before, we're getting greater than 90% less volume being sprayed from the sprayers by being able to target and spot spray only the weeds. And then there's the potential, of course, from a seed cost. You know, if we have the ability to be able to spray non-selective type herbicides or selective, whatever we decide to go with, but we can apply those only on the weeds and not on the crop, then there's some potential there that maybe the traits are not necessary, or maybe not all the traits are necessary that we're using today. So that's kind of futuristic, like down the road possibilities. But I think you can see how that could quickly add up to a huge value to the growers. This slide is probably one of my favorite, because this goes back to that toolbox I was talking about. Basically, we've got just a few chemistries that we're using today, and quite honestly, not with very good results in a lot of cases, unfortunately. But with See & Spray, we see that we're unlocking a much bigger toolbox of possibilities to be able to spray on the crop. And of course, from a sustainability standpoint, I think I'm over time, actually. This is the last slide, but from a sustainability standpoint, of course, we're reducing the amount of herbicide and chemical being put on the field. From a stewardship, we're minimizing drift and volatilization by number one, by the type of nozzles with the large droplet and large coverage, but also just by the sheer volume of material reduction that we're seeing applied out there. And then from a resistance standpoint, by being able to bring some of the other herbicides, some of the other modes of action into our capability to fight some of these weeds. So we feel like that this is just a win-win situation going forward as we're trying to fight this battle against resistant weeds. So with that, I don't know if you want to take any questions. Or... Right. So the question is, what about weeds that are in the drill? So the sprayer will have the potential to spray in the drill or not. So basically the grower will be able to select, okay, am I willing to sacrifice a plant or two to kill this pigweed, or do I not want to spray and let that go? So, you know, most of the growers I've talked to, there's no question. They would give up a plant or two to get that pigweed out of that row, right? But we will have that ability to be able to say, you know, we can create a buffer around that plant. You know, if it's 2 inches from the plant that we want to allow to spray, or if it's 0 inches, we'll be able to select that. Good question. Yes, sir. Yeah, so just to clarify, the question is around the residual type herbicides. We're definitely not advocating not using residuals. Our plan is to very much use a residual herbicide program, and this is basically allowing us to go in and clean up whatever escapes come out of that. So
overlaying residuals, I mean, currently Mm-hmm. With that, you're going to send a sprayer through the field, make a residual application, and send this sprayer through the field separate apart from that to make a target application. Is that what I said?
Yes, potentially. So it depends. Everybody's weed program is different, right? But most of the pre's are put down at planting, typically, right? You would put down a pre-plant, and then you would come back with a later application, or if you want to call it lay-by application or whatever the case may be. So, yes, this is kind of the fighting the weeds in between that is the thought process. Yes, that is actually in our plans and something that we are looking at, having basically two different spray, like a spray boom that can do a broadcast rate and have a different type of chemistry that could do the selective spray. Yes, sir. Potentially. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 98% is what we're shooting for. Yes, sir. Right. So currently our crop height is at 15 to 16 inches is where we're at. We're hoping to be able to extend that a little bit, but once you get beyond that 15 or 16 inches, you've got typically a pretty decent canopy coming out as well. And so our field of vision is limited by the canopy once the crop gets that high today. That may change in the future as we look at different type vision systems. Yes, sir. So this is what last year's rig, this is I would call it a very early development prototype rig, that the sprayer that we have in production for demos this year will look different than this. So we are, that's a very good question because I probably didn't clarify that. We're not commercially available yet. We're not commercially producing these units. We're probably still a couple of years away from that point. We'll have 5 sprayers running this year in demos throughout the Cotton Belt, starting in South Texas in February, then going to Georgia, then coming to Arkansas and the Delta, and then moving to West Texas. And then we'll have 2 additional units doing some other experimental work in soybeans and other places. So yeah, that don't let this... We're still looking at that possibility. I'm not real sure yet. We're going to start down in the valley because that's the first cotton planted in the country, right? So we'll start down there. We potentially may move up into that area with a different sprayer a little bit later on, but we're still trying to work out those details. Yes, sir. So the question is, have we tried the system in a heavy cover crop field? And we did do some of that last year. We're going to continue that work this year. What we found last year is if the cover crop was laid down, then we were able to run well. If it was standing cover crop, we had challenges. That was difficult. So we'll continue to work and do more demos this year and see how that works out. Yeah, surprisingly not. The question was, is the camera affected by dust and dirt accumulation? We were really concerned about that early on, but what we found is the protection that we've provided, the shielding around it, actually minimized that, and the dust was not an issue at all, surprisingly to us as well. So that thankfully has not been an issue. Yes, sir. Not today, because we're still very much in the development process. We really don't know what the end unit's going to look like. There's a lot of evaluation, trials, and changes that we'll be making over the next 2 years before we really get to a commercial level. So at this point, I can't. The other thing is that this technology changes so fast. The processors that we're using today, hopefully in 2 years, 3 years' time, will be much cheaper than what they are today, because things just continue to get faster and more capability, and the cost comes down. So unfortunately, I can't even give you a guess today. But obviously, it's got to be a value to the grower, right? It's got to be able to make the grower money, or else we won't be in business. And I guess one update that I did not mention since last year is we were actually acquired by John Deere about 3 months ago, so we're now wholly owned by John Deere. When we were here this time last year, we were just another technology startup in Silicon Valley. But now we're still Blue River Technology, but we are wholly owned and totally funded by John Deere. So that's really exciting for us as well.